Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
Let's do the local sports roundup brought to you by Amundsen's Appliance Center. Blue Gold Wise Wrestling, I mean, this whole season long has just been nothing but fantastic for yes. Tim Fader and that entire team. And they had nationals down in La Crosse, well represented. But it was Jared getting a national championship. Second time in program history for the Blue Golds.
Jared Stricker getting the job done against the same guy that knocked him out last year in the finals, taking home, the second ever national champion, and the team finishing, I believe, fifth. Best finish they've ever – I mean, it's the best season they've ever had. Tim Fader has done – we've talked about this every week I'm on.
Yeah.
Of just how he has grown that program year after year from just scraping together a team to now – being on the precipice of being right there. Lacrosse, was either second or third in the overall. So it's going to be fun watching Lacrosse and Eau Claire the next few years as they continue to grow and start to take, get to the top of the D3. Because it's been, I believe it was Williams and Wartburg that have won every title the last 20 years, something like that. And I think it happened again this past one. Augsburg. It's just, Eau Claire's getting there. And they were talking about during the broadcast of just how great this season has been. So, and it's only going to grow. This is an event like this, having a showing like this is only going to help you in recruiting. So it's growing into one of the best wrestling schools in the state. And, you got to give a lot of credit to Tim Fader for that.
I got to imagine, too, they're going to be wrestling at the Sonntag Center, right? Potentially?
I would think.
There?
I mean, they do the McPhee. So I don't know. And we'll see how it all
maybe
goes.
Once in a while, a big time.
It's like volleyball. Yeah. I mean, the McPhee has kind of been their, is their home. But, it would be great if you'd get that place rocking, too. I mean, the way they had the McPhee rocking this year and some of those duels, it's so fun to watch a sport that kind of was struggling for a long time.
Yeah.
Then to just, get the right person in the right spot. And now it's just continuing to grow, and it will into the future.
Absolutely. So congrats to the entire Blue Gold Wrestling team, because we've talked about them, I think, every week.
Yeah, it wasn't just Stricker. There was a ton of – we had six guys go down there, and I think four of them placed.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yes.
And that shows you how much they're just continuing to grow and to be in the top five of all the teams down there.
And you're right, too. Recruiting-wise, I mean, that's gonna put a big spotlight on that program too.
If you got a chance to watch the stream of the finals, what a great presentation there by the La Crosse Center and by just to highlight and make it such a special feel with the intros, them coming down the tunnel. I mean, it was really fun to watch. And
you didn't have to be a wrestler to get pumped up about watching.
Could you imagine we all growing up watching wrestling and all this stuff, but to actually get your own entrance music out there for your championship match, that's just got to give you goosebumps and just get you pumped up and ready to go.
Exactly. So I know Blue Gold Wise too, baseball and softball, they're down in sunny Florida playing some games over there too.
Better Florida than Arizona apparently this week,
right? No kidding. So they're down there. I know actually tennis is going on right now too for the Blue Golds.
Lacrosse. A couple of big victories in this last past week too.
Yeah, you go to bluegolds.com right now and their schedule says live now, tennis, baseball.
It's crazy. Quickly flips from winter to spring sports. So.
Right. Yep. Golf's got to be coming up here, I would think, a little bit too for their spring season.
I'm sure they're working at it already. Mm-hmm.
We'll get more into the spring season when we get closer, but staying with the WIAC, River Falls women's hockey completing the sweep, undefeated season, national champions for them too.
A dominant team, dominant team. Just 31-0.
Yeah,
most wins in D3 women's history to get the title. Doing it at home, it's so great that they were able to host the championship. I know Stevens Point a couple years ago in the men's were able to do that too. Mm-hmm. And that team, as somebody who got to watch them and has watched that team years taking on the Blue Golds, it shows you just how good the hockey is between both those teams. I mean, the fact that the Blue Golds probably were the closest ones to knocking off and ending that winning streak in the championship game of the conference championship, that shows you how good the Blue Golds are too. But, River Falls can't take anything away from them this season. This was... Yeah. One for the history books and the first WIC team to ever win a women's hockey title. And there's only the third time I think a WIC team has been in the championship game. So hats off to them. Just a monster performance and well-earned.
Yep, absolutely. So, prep-wise, I know we've got, like, indoor track and field stuff kind of going
on. Yeah, we're starting the spring start. Sports are starting. Yeah, indoor track and field. I think baseball and softball or baseball, one of them starts today. Next week, I think golf starts.
Okay.
So soccer starts probably today. So, yeah, all those teams probably benefiting from the lack of snow.
Yeah.
It's going to be a little cooler this week, but they're going to be able to get outside and do some practices, which I think is always great than instead of being stuck in the gym playing baseball or even soccer, golf.
Yep.
Any of those track and field. I mean, I've already seen the track and field kids out there taking advantage, especially last week when we had those 60-degree weather. I mean, it's perfect for them. So. Yeah.
I think I saw, was it last week too? I mean, some golfers even getting out there with the courses open, getting some practice rounds in.
Too, who would do that?
Yeah, right. kind of go back to the college. And the reason I want to bring this up because, I mean, UW-Green Bay women's basketball team, the best college women's basketball team in the state. I would say, you know,
Marquette would probably argue, but I think if you go by the history right now, Green Bay has been the one.
And were they at this? Because I remember, top 25 rankings for Green Bay. Were you over there during that time, or was that kind of like when you were in Green Bay?
No, they weren't making. Yeah,
okay.
I mean, even when I was in high school, Marge Hammerline, I think was the name of the coach before Kevin Borseth. They were making the tournament. Mm-hmm. Like, they've had, I want to say a dynasty, but it's been like a Horizon League before that was like Mid-Continent or whatever.
Yeah.
They've been that good for that long. I mean, Borseth was there.
Then he went to Michigan.
Yep.
And then came back.
And they just, kept on clicking. I think Hannah Iverson would be one to talk to about, she played over there in Green Bay and knows just that history and of what that team can do. And they just keep doing it. Got Givens from Chippewa Falls on that team.
Yep.
It's fun. It's great to have that team, and gosh, you'd love to see them make the run one of these years and just do it. I mean, women's college basketball is huge, and it's just getting bigger and bigger, but it's good to see that, Green Bay's been one of those teams for a consistent team for 25 years, I would go.
Yeah.
That it's been about that long.
You look at his record, too, 435, 125, that's a 777 win percentage. I mean, I remember him, when he was at Michigan. Remember the tantrum at the podium after that? The double-digit, gave up a double-digit lead. Was he talking about rebounds or box-outs or something like that? But
that's Kevin, though.
Yeah.
That, I mean, I call Kevin. Like, I haven't talked to him in probably 15 years. But, like, he is just an emotional guy. I mean, I remember there was, like, in the Green Bay Press Gazette, just a photo essay of him on the sidelines. And it was just, like, him with his arms closed, him kicking up. Like, he is as emotional of a guy you'll see on the sidelines, and just been a great coach. I mean, borderline Hall of Famer. I would, with what he has done in his career, the amount of wins, the amount of tournament appearances, you got to start getting some talk there. And the fact that he came back to Green Bay, I think that's pretty awesome that he's been able to continue it there.
Yep. I mean, overall, 794 wins.
That's more than Bo Ryan, if I'm not mistaken. It's a 741 if it's for Bo.
Yeah,
Bo should be in. I'm not going to go right here. If Bo doesn't get in this year, that is a Hall of Fame coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you can't discount the D3 titles. Four of them. He was a dominant D3 coach and then moved on and was a great Division I coach at Wisconsin.
Completely changed the program, right?
Yeah, the best one in program history.
Mm-hmm.
Not discounting what Dick Bennett did, but Bo Ryan took what Dick Bennett had and just
That's what you want to see from those coaches a lot, right? Is kind of like, okay, take it, improve it. How do you get a little bit better?
Yeah.
Bo Ryan did that.
He should have been in 2015.
I totally agree.
I don't know why he didn't, and that would have been perfect with him coaching in that Final Four and then getting, the fact that he didn't be, I think, is a shame, and that it's taken this long.
Yeah, 8 years after that now, too, and he's still.
Yeah, so he should be in. There's no doubt in my mind, and if anybody knows anything about basketball, they'll tell you what Bo Ryan did is just he is a Hall of Famer. So yeah, back to Kevin Borseth. Sorry to go on that tangent, but yeah, to see that team back in the tournament and what he's done with that program, it's pretty impressive, and just the consistency at which that program has been there. He was gone even when they were gone. I can't think of his name, the guy who took over. I apologize for that, but they kept it going.
Mm-hmm.
They really did. So
yep. And I don't feel like he's probably ever going to leave Green Bay again at this point.
No, I think, when I was there, He got offered, I believe it was a Colorado job, or either Colorado or Colorado State.
Okay.
Accepted it, and then realized, like, I don't want to leave Green Bay. So he stayed on for a few more years.
Okay.
After that, until Michigan eventually. He's a Michigan native. He's a UP native. So I think Michigan was a big draw to go back to the home state. But it's great that it's kind of come full circle that he's back and he still has that team doing exactly what they were doing before he left.
Because, I mean, you know, maybe McIntosh, if ever, would he try to get him to come down to Madison maybe at some point?
But yeah, I was there in Green Bay when Dick Bennett got taken from UW Green Bay now.
Yeah.
To the bat. And it, like, we had it on in like the library during study hall watching it, and everybody didn't want him to leave. And then he left, and everybody was just like, oh, man. It was a sad day. It was like a sad day. Because in Green Bay, basketball wise, you don't get. Wisconsin's obviously the big brother.
Right.
And Green Bay's the small little brother compared to like someone.
Yep.
But when they were having success with Tony Bennett and Dick Bennett and those teams were going to the tournament, it's like you had something special, a secret there that Wisconsin at that point wasn't doing.
Right.
Like during the Stu Jackson eras, the Van Gundy eras.
That's such an awesome trivia question. Stan Van Gundy did coach the Badgers.
Right. No one remembers that at all. But yeah, like they were okay, but they weren't whatever, you know, Dick Bennett and then Bo Ryan took them to. So when Green Bay had that little, like, they were them and Marquette were like the two best men's programs in the state. It was pretty cool.
But
yeah, it was such a sad day when he left.
Oh, I was too young to remember that a little, but I remember watching Green Bay in the tournament. That's like, you remember those certain games? Like, man, this would be the time of year in good old Medford. We had these tube TVs on in every room. Do you remember Channel 1 News? Did you guys ever watch Channel 1 News?
I heard about it. We didn't have it at my school.
Yeah, so that's why we'd always have to watch Channel 1 News, but then teachers would have the games on at certain points. So, like, I think it was last week was the anniversary of the Valpo game winner with Drew.
Yeah,
like, I remember watching that Miss Isaac's class.
That's awesome.
In middle school. So it was right at the end of the day, they would turn it on there. So
I mean, those were some fun days, too. It was when Green Bay beat Jason Kidd's California team.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have thrown a parade. Like, that was the hottest. You know, the Packers were just up and coming. But Green Bay basketball at the old Brown County Arena, you would go there and those places would be rocking. I remember going to a game, and this is before Keith Jackson, the tight end, had signed. He'd been traded to the Packers, but he didn't want to, wasn't going to play for the Packers. Reggie White took him to a UW Green Bay game, and they were sitting courtside. And it was like the next day or two, Keith Jackson signed, reported to the Packers. And I think he at least said he was at this crowd, was just, they're that big into that basketball game. And he was a big cog, the double tight end set with Mark Chimura.
Yep.
So it was like, to see that, to be there and see him courtside, and then knowing that a couple days later he was with the Packers there.
How about two guys there? Reggie signs after going to Red Lobster.
I mean, yes.
And Keith Jackson signs after.
That's probably like a half a mile from my house, that Red Lobster on Lombardi Avenue.